Good afternoon, everyone. Hope you're all doing well. Robert Fearing is not available at the moment, so my introduction has been deleted. So let's talk about a couple. We had a board meeting this morning, so we're going to talk about a couple things that occurred at the board meeting and what's going on, because there's no question my explanation of the stay-at-home order last week created a lot of confusion. And I apologize for that confusion, and hopefully today we will clear it up. First, let's talk about the budget. The budget is coming up. Your current dues are based upon $273 a month. You must keep in mind that a balanced budget for this year is based upon $281 a month. We all got a reduction of $8 based upon a surplus from last year. We got to use that surplus to reduce our monthly dues, but the actual balanced budget is $281. You need to keep the $281 in mind as far as any potential increases, because it will be based upon $281. Now, let's not forget, minimum wage is going up again, and we have to pay that increase. It's going from $12 to $13 a month, another 8.3%. So we will have to pay that increase to all the staff who are minimum wage. So that part of the payroll all by itself is an 8% increase. Now, the way I kind of calculate a projection for what's coming is I know inflation currently is at 1%, but I also know minimum wage is at 8%. So it's somewhere in between, which is 4% to 6% is my guess on where that budget is going to fall. So you take 5% of 281 and you're staring at $295 for the operational increase for this year, not including Frontier. Frontier is $12 a month. Now, you can all interpret it any way you wish. Here's what I do. I don't count the $12 as far as the actual operational budget increase, because the $12 increase is going to save you more than $12. I consider that a wash. So whatever the dues increase, if I project that I think it's $295 to $300, there'll be $12 on top of that. But the actual analysis for me is based upon $281 from a balanced budget this year to what we're going to have to deal with next year. And then the $12 frontiers on top of that, because I do believe everyone, almost everyone, will save more than $12 on their bill. Now, I totally understand that if you don't use Frontier at all, you will basically be paying a $12 a month additional increase. That is correct. I got that part. But for all of those who do participate in Frontier, you will save more than $12, so I don't count that into the operational increase. I think you all ought to plan on and expect dues next year will be $295 to $300 per month without Frontier. And then if there's any possibility of reductions based upon surplus, I don't think you ought to count on that. Given everything going on, I think that's unlikely. But we'll wait and see. The budget is going to board for approval end of October, so the next board meeting. Now, board nomination forms have been mailed. We need them back by 11/13, by November 13th. Board nomination forms are those of you who wish to run for the board, because I know so many of you out there have enjoyed Kim's radio show that you want nothing more to do than to be on this board. Look at all the good things. You'd get to know all the secrets. You get to know the people who don't pay their bills. You get to know the people who sue us. You get all these emails of about 20 million different opinions on what we ought to do. I mean, what more could you do on an afternoon when we're quarantined? So all of you who take an interest, please consider running for the board. Naturally, the board's position is hopefully you're trying to make decisions in the best interest of 3,500 homes. Sometimes that's not an easy task. We just do the best we can. But anyway, those forms need to be back by November 13th if you are interested. Now, Fitness. The gyms have opened up. The fitness gyms have opened up, but some people are arriving too early. Do not arrive early. This is no different than arriving too early for the indoor pool or for the outdoor pools. You can only arrive 5 minutes before your time. Now, think about this. These processes have been put in place, based upon the county guidelines, to keep people separated and for the health and safety of not only residents, but the staff. We don't want one group of people overlapping with the next group of people. If somebody were to catch the virus, we want them isolated into a small group of people. Well, if you have 10 people in the gym and those 10 interact with the next 10, that's an interaction of 20. We don't want that. So we want one group to be totally gone before the next group comes in, and that's more difficult to do if you come early. It's also difficult for staff to clean and do their protocols in order to fulfill the county guideline. So please do not come early, 5 minutes before your allotted reservation time. Now, we did, the board did pass the fact that the yearly fitness class passes, they'll be refunded in a prorated basis, so that'll be sent a check to you. The Frontier schedule, I don't know yet. I am writing and harassing them every day. They are projected to still start on 11-1. They just haven't given me the schedule as to who's first. For instance, is phase one first, phase two first, phase three? I don't know. Here's my hypothetical is what I'm going to get. Here's my guess, and I don't know yet. If they're going to start at one end of the complex and go to the other end of the complex, I think they're either going to start in phase one or phase three. And phase two, you're in the middle. That's how I think it'll go to work. We'll see. Okay, somebody did ask about water. They wanted water out by the dog parks. There is no water turned on anywhere in the complex, not in the buildings, not out the golf courses, not anywhere, because the county order says water can't be turned on unless it's totally touchless, and we do not have that capability. So there is no water. Now, no gatherings and no club meetings for everyone. We're getting a lot of requests as things are going to start to open as far as club activities, which they were hoping would open, and or for golf course when they open up for the different men's and women's golf courses, and or for even like walks. There was a charity walk and different requests. Basically, the board, in order to be consistent and to follow the county order, because every time we go to look at these, we have to look through lots of paperwork to determine what's allowed and what's not allowed. So the board's position is we're not going to allow any of it. So, and part of that is simple, is it essential? Does it matter for the moment? So let me give you an example. When the South Course opens and the men's club usually has their meeting, is that meeting essential for the men to still go play golf and do their events? And we look at that and say, no, it's not essential. It would be nice. But to be safer, we would rather those events and those gatherings did not happen. So that's the position we're taking at the moment. The health and safety is going to be the priority. So you're going to have to give us a little time on that, and we have to wait until we see what's going on. Now, even after the board meeting, somebody asked me, how does this whole process with non-payment work? So the HOA, if somebody does not pay their bills, eventually we would lien your home. That's the process. We would put it through collections. We'd lien your home. And if we are successful, then that would just sit there until someday when you either try to sell your home or, like today, we will be sending a pre-lien letter and then a judicial foreclosure letter to a homeowner to say, if you don't bring this current, we're going to notify you, we might foreclose on that house. So, and we've checked, sometimes there's no money in the house, so we just chalk it up because we already see there's a bad problem. So that's how the process worked. And what it meant was there was a homeowner here who owed the HOA quite a bit of money for quite a few years and finally sold his home, and we finally got to collect that $18,000. I mentioned Bob Israel this morning because Bob Israel knew very well about this particular case that's been a point of discussion in closed session for years. So, Bob, hey, that case is finally done, if you can believe it. Isn't that something? So, okay, now, there's no question a week ago I created a lot of confusion over the HOA's position on having guests within the complex. And the reason it created confusion is because staff and myself, we received a lot of emails and questions as to what that meant. And namely, we took the position at the time, the HOA, nothing different on common property. We will enforce the state and county order. There's to be no guests, no gatherings. But I did say that as far as private property, we had no comment. Consult an attorney or go look it up. Too many people said, that doesn't help me. They want to know what is the rules. So, HOA board decided, and we're now back to the original statement we made in the very beginning. And I'm going to read it to you now, so this will take care of what was said last week. It'll make it clear as to what we believe is required. The state order is still in effect about stay at home and no gatherings. Residents are responsible to follow the state order. The HOA will be looking for and enforce no visitors and no gatherings on common property, clubhouses, golf courses, shadows, streets, parking lots. Streets is common property. If a resident is walking with a child, they can be cited for violating state order because a young person's not supposed to be visiting, and they are on common property. If you're walking, biking, etc., on common property, including streets, the people can be cited. The HOA will not be looking for violations of the state order on private property. We're not looking for it. We will investigate, however, any complaint of noise or conduct on private property. We're not looking for violations on private property, for example, in your home. But if there is a complaint, we'll investigate. If it's obvious, we will investigate. Example, if there's 8-10 cars parked out in front of your home, we will investigate that. If there's a violation, we'll cite it. If there's a pool party in your backyard that neighbors can hear or golfers can see because you're on the golf course, that's clearly an issue. We'll investigate and cite. Currently, that state order is still in effect. Now this, I'm going to read this. I did this morning. This gentleman actually wrote into the board, and although we disagree, I thought his analysis and description was well done. It presents the alternative viewpoint, which I totally understand. There's multiple viewpoints. So no matter what we do down this road, there will be different viewpoints on how we should handle this situation. And as it stands in an HOA, you all elected 5 people to make the call. And we're doing the best we can, but we are going to make the call that we think is in the best interest of this HOA. Now, currently, the board has decided that the priority is health and safety. It's not your personal convenience to see your family. You have other alternatives. But in this HOA complex, the health and safety of every other resident is the priority. We are the vulnerable group. There's no doubt about it. So I'm going to go through and answer this person's questions one by one. And although we disagree, I do appreciate very well his articulation and how he wrote this. It appears, this is partly, we're going to go through and answer these one by one. It appears that the overwhelming reason that the board is acting the way they are has to do with the board's fear of any potential liability for the actions of our residents. That fear seems to be controlling principle for the board's decision to maintain restrictions far beyond those imposed by any other community. Are we to become so paralyzed by fear of any liability that our residents must endure suffocating restrictions? Okay, let me answer that. First of all, I've said a long time, what other communities do is up to them. I don't believe that the board should be motivated by the perception of another committee, a community, as to our decision. I'm not making a decision in order to make other communities happy. That's of no concern to me. So I've said it before. I don't care what the other HOAs do. I care what this HOA does. And this board is responsible to the residents of this HOA. So everyone that wants to bring up another community, I go, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter because they don't decide. Now, as far as us being paralyzed by liability, I don't think it's a question of being paralyzed by liability. We have a responsibility as a board to enforce the CC&Rs and the bylaws. That's one of our responsibilities. And one of those responsibilities in those CC&Rs says that we are going to be responsible to the HOA for all actions that are legal and illegal. So we do have a responsibility to look at the liability. I don't know that we should ignore the potential liability as a result of COVID lawsuits. And clearly there's liability, or Congress wouldn't be having a discussion over trying to grant liability waivers. They're trying to look at businesses and protect them from the COVID lawsuits that are being formed now. The person goes on to say the stay-at-home order to justify prohibition of even residents visiting each other is a red herring. I had to go look that up. I'm sorry. I didn't know how that was to say. I totally disagree with this. The stay-at-home order is the whole issue. The state has issued it. I can give you a copy of it if you'd like. First, that order, what this gentleman says, that order places no obligation or even responsibility on organizations like the HOA. Okay, this is where the gentleman simply doesn't know the CC&Rs. The CC&Rs places the responsibility of the board that they must enforce the state and county order. The county order and the state order don't have to state it. Our CC&Rs state it. And it's very clear in the CC&Rs, the board is required to follow state and county law. And if we don't, we are legally responsible. That's clear as a bell. The gentleman goes on to say, the potential for liability based upon a non-existent legal obligation is itself almost non-existent. Once again, this is where the person is just incorrect. We do have a legal obligation. Next, the stay-at-home order has become so diluted with exception as to render it almost meaningless. Well, I guess that depends on your point of view. I do agree with this. The way it works is the stay-at-home order and the county order is in place. And then they give you an exception. So they gave us an exception that we could go to Shadows for dinner under certain conditions. They gave us an exception for golf. They gave us an exception, you know, to open the gym. That's what they're doing. They're giving you these individual exceptions. It never says that the state order as far as stay-at-home is no longer in existence. It doesn't say that at all. It is just never, okay, and what he's saying is that in the governor's opening phases, the stay-at-home order is never mentioned. And I'm saying, if you want a copy of the state order, I'll be glad to send it to you. It's clear as a bell. It's right on the state website. It's on the county website, and it's very clear. This person wants to know if Sun City will simply never relax its restrictions on visiting or small gatherings. For me, I'm not relaxing anything until the state and county says it's safe. We are not the medical experts to decide what's safe and what's not safe. Our obligation is to follow the law. That's the responsible action here. So if you're asking me, yeah, I'm always going to be on the side of the safety, the health of everybody that lives here. And if that means that order stays in place, that's what we'll do. Finally, this gentleman says, I know that countless residents have, to no avail, urged you to consider what is happening in other communities. Well, I think I've answered that. I don't care. So I have all the faith in the world that if the majority of you don't like that answer, if I decide to run for the board again, don't vote for me. If it ever happens again, you're going to get the same answer from me. I don't move around much on an opinion like this. I care more about the life of my neighbor than I do anyone's personal convenience to see a grandchild. I haven't seen mine. I haven't seen a new one born on March 17th. So I know what you're going through, but I'm still going to follow the law. Okay. Instead of stifling residents, other communities allow the residents to behave like responsible adults. And they don't restrict all because some might not act responsibly. Now, I don't understand this sentence. If adults are responsible, then how can the people act based upon some who are irresponsible? And my question is, each person's going to, you're all going to have your definition of what's responsible here. And the board has to take a position. The board's position is responsible adults don't violate the state and county law. That's not the responsible thing to do. I'm also going to question, why would anybody violate that order when it's in place to protect people, when it's in place to keep them from dying? Why? How is a responsible person going to be so selfish, be motivated by such self-interest that they are going to violate a state order and state law that's trying to keep them alive? We disagree on our definition of responsibility, sir. Either these communities are irresponsible or they, with their advisors, have determined how to balance risks. Okay, I'll take your pick. They might be irresponsible. That's up for them to decide. It's not up to me to decide. I'm not going to go judge their community. I'm going to judge this community. I will say this, considering that Sun City Palm Desert is 1.5 times bigger than us and has 10 times more cases on a per capita basis, they're not doing quite as well. So I will err on the side of safety and health every day. It's okay that we can get through this. And I think we all understand there's a lot of people at risk here. And there's alternatives for you to see your friends and your grandchildren. As far as the complex, it's easy. Make a reservation at Shadows. Go over there with 4 people. Sit down and enjoy each other's company. As far as your grandchildren, there's other places to visit grandchildren than within this complex. I think you should be considering all the alternatives, considering that this particular complex does have a lot of people who are extremely vulnerable. My concern is the vulnerability, the health and safety of every single one of them. Hopefully that clears up the confusion about the board's action and what we intend to do if there's a violation of that state and county order. I know it's not popular. Maybe that'll keep me off the board next year. Now, I have been requested that I transcribe the podcast because many of you don't want to listen to me for 30 minutes. I got to tell you, I don't know if I could listen to me for 30 minutes, but I do really appreciate the people who have told me to do the podcasts. I will tell you that we get like now between 12 to 1700 downloads on the podcast, which is an extremely valuable way to me and the board to communicate what's going on. And it's easier for me sometimes to verbalize it, to explain it as far as so I'm more complete about it. I will also tell you, I am not a very fast typist. I don't write very well. My English grades were somewhere between poor and very bad, somewhere in that zone. So I tell people here, I will not commit to transcribing a podcast. And that is basically, it deals with my time. I only have so much time, and I spend a lot of it reading county and state orders and answering requests from homeowners. So if I have time, I will attempt to do transcribed podcasts. There's no commitment on my part. If it happens to happen, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it will not. So truthfully, it's just a question of my time and how much I have. So hopefully I've answered some questions. If you have any questions, please let me know. In the meantime, I urge you to be careful. You know, wash hands, wear masks, stay away from each other, and I wish you all a safe week. Take care. Talk to you soon.